Psalm 60, another miktam of David for teaching. When he fought against Mesopotamia and Syria of Zobab, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. O God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. O restore us again. You have shown your people hard things. You have made us drink the wine of confusion.
You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah.
That your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me.
God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out
Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is also the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver.
Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia shout in triumph because of me.
Who will bring me to the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom?
Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies?
Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless.
Through God, we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies.
Okay, here in Psalm 60, in the New King James, at least in my version, it's been given a title, Urgent Prayer for the Restored Favor of God. And in the rather large superscription, we have a couple things. It's a poem of David, but it's for teaching. And it talks about when he fought against the Mesopotamians and the Syrians of Zobah, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. The Valley of Salt, of course, would be the area around the Dead Sea. It begins, the history of the time is when David was out expanding the kingdom, that would be to the north and to the northeast slightly, and then the Edomites and the Philistines to the other side rose up in the absence of the armies and attacked. And David had to split the armies and go back. And it begins, O God, you have cast us off, you have broken us down, you have been displeased, oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble and you have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. You have shown your people hard things, and you have made us drink the wine of confusion. That seems like an odd description of things, given the historical situation in which it was written. But again, as I've said many times, and as all of you are familiar with, the Psalms are not about David. They're not about the times of the things that were happening in the times particularly. They were appropriate for the time that David wrote them. But in the same way that the Psalms of God are appropriate for the people of God whenever they find themselves in difficulty. David wrote this psalm in response to the time at the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sure, I'm not denying that. It was very appropriate and historically appropriate as well. But there were many times since then, in the kingdom of Israel, in the kingdom of Judah later, or in the life of the church, when the same psalm would have been useful and at the same time for the same general thought. Again, as we look at this, the idea is that the people of God have been cast off. God's favor has been lifted from them. They have been displeased, and they're asking for restoration or redemption. In verse 2, you have made the earth tremble, and you have broken it. Heal its breaches, for it is shaking. Now, that's big language. Here we have that it's not just bad things are happening from people, but the earth itself is rising up against the people of God. And only God can heal. Now, when man opposes us, or man opposes the people of God, it's easy to think that in our own human power we can do something about it. But when the earth itself is trembling and rising up, well, we need God's help, of course. In verse 4, the situation changes tremendously. The perspective changes. We have people looking up to God and asking for help. In verse 4, it switches to looking at the help that would come. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Now, the word there that's banner is not the same that we see in other parts of Scripture for a sign or something that's being carried before the armies. It's rather a sign of ownership or a sign that would be placed upon something rather than a banner to be led forth. And this could be in reference to many things. But there is a sign given of ownership to label those who fear God that may be displayed because of the truth. Now a Jew of the time, an Israelite, would have thought of the mezuzim, the things that contain the word of God that would be put upon the doorways of their houses. So that all would enter there would be seeing the truth of God's word as they entered into the house. And why was the banner given that your beloved may be delivered? Now there's an interesting phrase. Because David does not use that phrase to speak of himself. Here we have, your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. This verse 5 shows us again that this is a messianic psalm speaking of Jesus. Now if we think, and those of us who are familiar with the gospel, and I hope that's everyone in this room that's above the age of reading at least, that when Jesus was crucified, the earth trembled. The earth was broken up. We see that God withdrew His favor from the earth when the Son of God was killed. Darkness fell upon the land, and the earth was broken. And the people then prayed, and we saw that in the Gospels, and we know that restoration was given. For when the crucifixion was finished, the favor of God returned to His people, as it did to the Son. And we see that now as we go into the next section. God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Sukkoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe and Philistia shout in triumph because of me. Now this seems to lead everything back to the historical explanation of the psalm that this is just David speaking of things in his lifetime. But there's a couple problems with that. This geographic area that's being spoken of is mostly what was considered to be the Holy Land, of course. But God has spoken in His holiness, quote, I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem. God is saying that He will be pleased and He will measure things out. And it talks about Sukkoth, Shechem, Gilead, Manasseh, Ephraim, Judah, and all of these are within the land of the Jews, the land of Israel. The dividing and the measuring out shows Him owning. It's the same concept, the same thought as counting the stars, numbering and naming. It's a ownership verb that's being used here. But in verse 8, it just continues into verse 8, but Moab is my washpot. Moab was not part of the promised land. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. And Edom had a long and ugly history with the people of God. Continually supposed to be the brothers of the Israelites, but being some of their worst persecutors. And the Philistia shout in triumph because of me. Now that line really changes things. Or if you think about it, there's an unexpected twist here that needs to be looked at. Because in Moab is my washpot, and in Edom I will cast my shoe, it sounds like I will conquer them, and I will put them down, and I will take over. But look at Philistia. Philistia is not, it doesn't say, because of Philistia I will shout in triumph. It says that Philistia itself will shout in triumph because of me. What we have here is a picture of the holiness of God, the gospel of God. Remember what we were looking at with this crucifixion and moving on. But now God has spoken in His holiness. And from the Holy Land moving out into the enemies of the people of God, we see rejoicing. We see not conquering in hatred, but the rejoicing of those who hear the holiness of God when He speaks. And the last section, who will bring me to the strong city? Now that phrase occurs other times in Scripture, and I wish I'd spent more time looking that one up. Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not You, O God, who cast us off? And You, O God, who did not go out with our armies? That plaint, that cry, You did not go out with our armies, is found in many of the Psalms, several places. And many of those, such as 80 and others, are clearly messianic, looking for the conquering, well, not conquering, but the one who brings life, the king of the line of David, who would come and restore not just the kingdom to Israel, but to the earth. Is it not you, O God, who cast us out, and you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is He who shall tread down our enemies. Again, the idea, the historical context of this is inadequate for this psalm. It's also inadequate for the purpose given in God's Word for the Psalms, to teach us about Jesus. Rather, what we see here is an opportunity for the church to, looking at what God has done in the past, to have faith and confidence that He will do so in the future. That when we are opposed by those who hate God, by a land, by a country, by a religion, by a force that would put God and His people down or in their place, so to speak, we can see that God is not only strong enough to preserve the church in it, but to conquer and to win, not in destruction necessarily, possibly through redemption, but to conquer over God's enemies. So as we sing Psalm 60, and we'll sing Part A, let us remember that we're singing not of the conquering of David over the Philistines, the Moabites, and the Edomites, but of King Jesus over His enemies on earth throughout history. Psalm 68.